Good morning. It's nice to see everybody out on a nice brisk day, but today is an awesome day. We have a lot going on, and I just wanted to welcome you. Today we have Scout Troop 51 here. They're going to present colors here shortly, and we'll go from there. They'll do a Pledge of Allegiance and give honor to the Scout flag, and at that time afterwards, I'll pray. Praise and worship will come, and we'll enjoy Vince's message and hearing from God. So, Commander, muster your troops. Prepare to present colors. Everybody stand, please.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and rugged. On my honor, I would do my best to do my duty to God, my country, to obey Scout law, to think of all times, keep myself these strong, mentally awake, and moving straight to color guard, fall off.
Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come in this house, for the blessings, Lord, that you bestow on us, for guiding us and directing us, Lord, for the honor and privilege to have the troop here, Lord. I ask that you bless them, bless their families, guide them and direct them, Lord, help them to be young men, most of all, Lord, to be men honoring of God, that you guide us here at the church, O Lord, help us to come closer, fill our hearts and minds with clarity, Lord, of your vision. Bless our steps, Lord. Bless our paths. Most of all, Father, help us to always give you glory. Look after our country, Lord. Bless our presidency. Bless our nation. Give us wisdom. Put all those people in authority, O Lord. Help them to bring honor to you. Help them to see and hear from you. Look after our pastoral teams, Lord, and their families. Bless them and guide them. Fill their mouths, O Lord, with your word. Fill their heart, O Lord, with your love. Most of all, Lord, guide us. In your holy name, Lord. Amen.
Teach me some melodious song, song. Power and majesty. This morning, it is kind of one of those unique mornings. This morning, we got news that Libby was able to come home for a few days, and she is home. She has a really tough road she's on, and we just ask that you continue to pray for her. She's got a big next 6 months ahead of her. They have found a good, solid match for her. It's actually a 100% bone marrow transplant match, which is wonderful. We are praying that her body will be strong enough to face the procedure ahead and that her needs will be provided for. And where that starts is when the people of God gather together to pray for her and her family. And continues as we show her support in that way and many others. So let's go before the Lord in prayer as we get ready to head into this morning's message. Father God, I thank you for being the God of all creation and the God of all comfort and the sustainer of all life. And Lord, right now we come before you and we thank you that Libby was strong enough to come home for a few days and be able to spend some time with family and see some friends. And we just ask, Lord, that you'll continue to strengthen her body. We thank you that there is a match that is available for her, and we pray that that match would be the perfect match that would get her back into full health. And Lord, that her leukemia would be taken away. We pray, Lord, for her family, and we pray for especially Logan. We pray that you would bless him as the world's best big brother that he is. And I just pray that you'd give him the courage and the strength he needs to continue to be there for Libby and all the ways that he wants to be. And I pray for their family, Lord, that you'd meet all their needs. And Lord, when we think of those who we have to bring before you and pray for them because of what's going on in their lives. Lord, in a very selfish way, we say thank you because our lives really aren't that bad. The little struggles that we face are nothing in comparison to the monumental struggles that the Thulans and others are facing. And Lord, we just thank you that you are our God and we can trust you in this. Lord, we come before you today and we ask that you would speak to our hearts and remind us of what's important, and that we would remember that you are the most important. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen. This morning, I'd like to welcome the Scouts for being here this morning. Every first Sunday of February, we get to gather together, and they come in and they participate in the service as Scout Sunday. And it's exciting to see that they're willing to participate and be involved, because not only is it a requirement, but because their leaders are guiding them and reminding them of things that are important. And that's one of the things that makes scouting stand out in comparison to a lot of other organizations and a lot of other activities, because for the longest of times, it is because it has always placed a strong emphasis on God and country as part of the scouting programs. For example, the Brownies Promise starts out and says, like a little girl, I promise to do my best to love God and my country. That's so cute. You get all these little girls up and they get up and they do their thing and they say, I want to love God and my country. The Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts promise, I promise to do my best, to do my duty to God and to my country. The Girl Scouts promise, on my honor, I will try to serve God and my country. Scouting gives our young people the opportunity to build their lives on timeless principles. And as they grow older, it will serve as a guide on important issues of God, family, and country. And it is important for us to support those things and support scouting in that way. John Wayne, the famous American actor, was a Boy Scout in his younger days, and later in life, he was honored by President Ford at a black tie benefit dinner. When it came time for Mr. Wayne to speak, he recited the Boy Scout law, which you guys heard earlier. A scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. Mr. Wayne went on to spoke about the final point, being reverent and what that means. And he said, keep God at the top of what you believe in. With him, life can be a beautiful experience, but without him, you're just biding your time. How many people are just biding their time until death comes knocking? And they're never living any step of the way. I want you to note that all levels of scouts under the scouts includes God in their activities. Under the umbrella of the Girl Scouts, the Daisies, the Brownies, the Juniors, the Cadets, the Seniors, the Ambassadors, and for the Boys, the Tigers, the Cubs, the Boy Scouts, and the Venture Explorers, all of them include God in their promises or oaths. And it's similar to what Jesus challenged us with in Luke chapter 10, verse 27. Where he laid out what is most important. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind. And to love your neighbor as yourself. God first, country second. God first, others second. So whether you're a scout or not, that one scripture can easily be the spiritual foundation for our faith in the Lord. Baden Powell, who was an instrumental in starting a scouting program, believed that duty to God should be at the heart of all of scouting. He said, religion means first recognizing who and what God is, and second is making it the best life he has given us, and third is doing what he wants of us. And that means mainly doing things for others. How much better would our world be if we kept all of that in mind and took it to heart and let it flow out into what our lives, recognizing who and what God is as the creator, as the sustainer and savior of all the world. You know, we sit here this morning and we came together and we prayed for Libby and we went before the God of all creation and the God of all comfort because that's who he is. But yet our world seems to push him back instead of embracing him. We need to recognize who and what God is. Number two, we need to make the best of this life that he has given us. And you know what? We don't have it half bad, do we? We look at what's going on around the world and we look at how other people have it in other countries and we still have it pretty good. It might have been minus 17 below zero when we got up this morning to come to church, but it's still 70 degrees inside the sanctuary. I know the heaters are working the best they can, but what do? You know? You'd be excited about 70 degrees when it's August. But here's the great thing. We have been blessed and it is a privileged life that we do live. And we need to make the very best of it. And oftentimes that means doing what he wants of us. And you know what? I never really have a problem doing what God wants when it benefits me. The hard part is when he wants to do something with me and through me to benefit somebody else. Something, because that always takes sacrifice and effort to go outside of our comfort zone, to be able to make a difference, to help other people, helping little old ladies cross the street, helping people in their homes and in their communities and their church and in the government. Every one of those places could use a little more godly character and influence in their lives. And he's calling us, whether we're scouts or not, to make that happen. As we put him first and others before ourselves. Juliet Gordon Lowe, the founder of the Girl Scouts, saw her organization as a means to show the wonder of God in nature and good works to the community. To help reveal who God was to these little girls that would come in so that they could meet him and know him, but also that they could go into the world and make a difference. It wasn't just about selling Girl Scout cookies. I'm glad that the pandemic slowed that down this year because I don't think I could take one more box of Thin Mints. Lord Powell, who grew up as a minister's son, recognized that when a young man or lady includes God in service to others in his or her life, it is going to be a life well lived. Along those lines, John Wesley explained, the outgrowth of the Christian discipleship is this: do all the good you can to all the people you can as often as you can. Think about that. Do all the good you can to all the people you can as often as you can. And you know what? Sometimes that's an overwhelming thing to think that there's 60 people in the room and we've got to do the best we can by all of them. But you can only do so much. But you can always do the best you can for who you can whenever. You know, a guy told me once, I asked him, why do you treat me so well? He goes, well, I try to do for one person like I wish I could do for all people, hoping that you will go on to do the same. You know, ladies and gentlemen, that's the thing. We need to focus outward and be able to help the people around us. You're going to get an opportunity in a few weeks at Easter where the Easter offering is going to go towards helping out Libby and her family because they've got an incredibly difficult financial row to hoe. And I know this is just one family. There are three families, four families in the school that are dealing with cancer right now in their children. But you know what? We got to do the best we can for who we can. Even if that's right now just one. So dig out the change out of your cup holders in your car and out of the door panels and out from under the seat and out of your cushions and get it ready because we want to see a great Easter offering because it's going to go to help somebody and it's something simple you can do. But just make sure that you're working towards helping those around you. Do all the good you can to all the people you can as often as you can. One person who discovered the power of service to others was a 13-year-old boy scout named Frank Wilson. This story takes place on Christmas Eve. Frank was depressed because it was the first Christmas he would spend without his brother Steve, who was lost in a car accident. It was especially painful because Frank and his brother were very, very close. And on that Christmas Eve afternoon, Frank, in his despondency, needed to get away from the house. So he put on his new coat and put all of his Christmas gifts in his brand new sled, tied them all down, and began to take a walk. And as he went through the rundown section of town, Frank looked at the window in a window of a house and saw a woman crying who appeared to be discouraged as he was. On impulse, Frank knocked on the door and told the woman, "Choose any present you would prefer for your children and give it to them." The lady was astounded and said, "Why, God bless you," and selected some candy and a game and a toy airplane and a flashlight. And as he was about to leave, she asked his name. Frank said, "Just call me Christmas Scout." Frank left with an unexpected flicker of joy in his heart, but he was not finished. Along the way, he found other needy people and gave the rest of his gifts away, including his new winter jacket and his new sled. Frank made his way home, and he knew that he was in big trouble. And sure enough, his parents were highly upset at their son's erratic behavior. They were convinced their son had made some poor choices and ruined the entire family's Christmas. Frank, on the other hand, felt alone and confused. He thought he had done the right thing. And when he did his good turn and his duty to God, he didn't expect the type of family fallout that he received. The next morning, the local television reported the following. A crippled young boy has a new sled. We don't know if that was before or after he got the sled, but you never know. Another youngster has a fine winter jacket. Several families report that their children were made happy last night from gifts from a teenage boy who simply called himself the Christmas Scout. Frank's mom and dad realized the Christmas that started out on a bad note was really probably one of the best. You see, what Frank had done was a clear example of duty to God and his fellow man. And in the process, he overcame some of the most difficult times in his life. You see, our duty to God includes, first and foremost, that we follow and live by the teachings of the Lord. We must live our lives in honesty and service to others. Secondly, Christian pew-sitter and valued video watcher, God reminds us in Matthew 22:36-40 of what's really important. "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in all the law?" Jesus replied, "To love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, because this is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, to love your neighbor as yourself." Everything, all of life, all the law, all the prophets hang on these two commands. Love God and love others. Put God first and others second, and yourself last. You know, this is a lesson that is more caught than taught, and it's not being caught very well these days. Proverbs 22:6 reminds us, "Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it." What I take from that passage of Scripture is do not underestimate the role of parents and grandparents and scout leaders and individuals and the role that they play in the lives of younger generations. And you know what? And some of us older kids as well. There are a couple guys that that I lean on a little bit and for wisdom from those older than me. And one is way stinking older than me, and his name's Howard Helms. And I know you guys, a couple of you just went, "Oh my goodness, he's getting advice from Howard Helms." And you know, Howard comes in and gives friendly, fatherly advice that goes along with Gunsmoke and any Western movie you'd want in life. A few weeks ago, he came in and he stepped into my office and he said, "You know, Vince, you often have said that you remind me of a father sometimes, and I just need to give you some advice." And I thought it was cool that this guy would come out of his day. I know he's retired and he's old and he's got plenty of time, right? But he's still willing to invest in the next generations. Another guy is a guy named Todd Campmeyer, and some of you may know him. He's only like 8 or 9 years older than me, and he's an interesting character, and he has a wealth of knowledge and wisdom inside of him, even though he is as rough as a chip and seal road. What's interesting with him, though, is whenever I call, he always answers, And even though he claims to know nothing about anything, he knows a little bit about something, and he always has some good advice. You know, sometimes we need to ask for help from the generations ahead of us, young and old people, of how we can best navigate through our lives. And sometimes, young and old people, we need to be willing to give advice to those who ask, and sometimes even when they don't. Never underestimate the power that your investment of time for the betterment of another can have on the future of a person and every person that they will influence over the course of their lifetimes. You see, scouting is one of those investments and sacrifices that people need to make into the lives of young people. See, for every 100 girls who join Girl Scouts, four of them will earn the Girl Scout Gold Award, the highest award for girls. 12 of them will have their first contact with a church. 5 will earn their church religious award. 1 will be brought before juvenile court. 1 will enter the clergy. Might be the same one who went to court. You never know. 18 will develop hobbies used during their adult life. 8 will enter a vocation that was learned through the badge or patch program. 17 will be future Girl Scout volunteers. 1 will use her Girl Scout scouting skills to save a life. And 1 will use her Girl Scout scouting skills to save her own. And for the boys, the results were similar. And that is a pretty good return on the investment for scouting. For every 100 boys that enter Scouts, 30 are going to drop out. 30%. Only rarely will one ever appear before the juvenile court or judge. They're not like the Girl Scouts. They always get one. 12 will be from families that belong to no church. 6 of these will be brought into contact with the church and continue throughout the rest of their lives. 3 will become pastors. 4 Scouts will reach the rank of Eagle Scout. 45 will serve in the military. 1 person will use scout skills to save another person's life. 2 will report that they use scout skills to save their own. 17 will later serve as adult volunteers, and 8 will find their future life vocations from scouting. Only 4 out of 100 boys in the USA will become scouts. But of the leaders of the nations in business and religion and politics, it's closer to 3 out of 4 were scouts. 26 of 29 of the first astronauts in NASA's program were Eagle Scouts. And out of the first 233 astronauts, 133 of them were scouts. That's pretty huge, isn't it? A nationwide survey showed that senior class presidents, 89% were scouts. Junior class presidents, 80%, student council presidents, 85%, school newspaper editors, 88%, football captains, 71%, basketball captains, 64%, 64% of the Air Force Academy graduates were scouts, 58% of the West Point graduates were scouts, 70% of Annapolis graduates were scouts. 72% of Rhodes Scholars were scouts. 85% of FBI agents were scouts at one time. That's pretty impressive, right? The investment made into young people's lives through scouting programs, through Sunday school, and through church pays dividends that we cannot claim now, but have incredible rewards to them in the future. This is so important, folks. It's so important. Because what the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and the church all have in common is the purpose of gathering people together to learn new skills, overcome fears, and introduce them and prepare those people for the possibility of what life has to offer, and the importance of knowing about the life that God has to offer them both now and in eternity. You know, God wants to use scouts in the church to make a difference in the lives of people and continue to use that to make an influence and an inroad into the lives of young people so that they will come to know Him and they will come to love Him and they'll come to serve Him. My question is, for all of us, how are we doing? Boy Scout, Girl Scout, Cub Scout, Christian, leader, how are you doing with your promise and your oath before God and your troop, your church? Brownies, promise to do my best to love God and my country. Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts, I promise to do my best to do my duty to God and my country. Girl Scouts, on my honor, I will try to serve God and my country. I think all of us would do well to remember what Mr. Wayne said. A scout and every Christian should be trustworthy. They should be loyal. They should be helpful. They should be friendly. They should be courteous. They should be kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. How you doing, folks? How are you living out your life as a scout, as a Christian, as a church member, as an American? Now, I like what Mr. Wayne said. Keep God at the top of what you believe in. Because with Him, life can be an incredibly beautiful experience. But without Him, you're just biding your time. Getting by until you die. And you're not living. So I want to encourage all of you who are listening today, live the life that God has given you to the fullest. Put Him first, others second, and yourself last. And you're going to find that life is an exciting place to live. Right here, right now. Whether it be 17 below, or 80 degrees above, you have an incredible purpose with your life. I had a talk with somebody this past week. I was having a struggle about purpose in life and doesn't see the value of living it. And I said, you know, I know a little girl. Her name's... Her name's Libby. Her body's trying to kill her. And she and her family are fighting with everything that they've got so she can live. And because you're having a hard day or somebody doesn't like you, you're thinking that your life's not worth living. Maybe if you fought to live for the right reasons, like Libby is, maybe you would know what it means to live and how important life is. See, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have it bad. We're not fighting for our lives. But maybe it's time we start living for God, for others, and fighting for that. As hard as Libby is trying to have one more day, one more week, and one more birthday. So whatever it takes for you to do your best for God and your country, your family, your community, and those around you, do it. Let's pray. Father God, none of us should be taking this life that we have for granted. It is a gift from you. And yes, it is hard, but you know what? It ain't bad. It may not be what we expect, but when we're thinking about ourselves and just ourselves and how about me and my and oh my, we miss out on everything else out there. But if we focus our attention on you and the one who loves us so much that you gave your son to die on the cross for our sins so that we might be saved and have eternal life, Lord God, when we focus on you, our life gets a lot better to know that we are loved that much. And when we focus on helping other people and meeting their needs and helping them reach their goals, Lord, we find that we have an incredible purpose of loving you and loving others. And in the process, we find out what life's all about. So I just ask, Father God, that we would be people who honor you, love you, and serve you with all we got. And we do that by loving and honoring and serving those around us with all we got. And once we start doing that, what an incredible world we could have. Because that's the only thing that will change the world. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand as we sing our closing song.
Grace alone, which God supplies.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much for your love and your grace and your mercy. I just pray that over all of these people who have heard this message this day. And I pray that that love and grace and mercy would fill them up to overflowing, where they would love you with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and they would begin to love their neighbor as themselves and do what's necessary to sacrifice the hard things so that they could better the lives of those around them. And thank you for the leaders of the scouting program that they are willing to give of their time and their energies to lead young people closer together, closer to their purpose, but most importantly, that they would lead them closer to you. And I just pray, Lord God, that your blessings would flow into their lives in incredible ways. And Lord, that you'd use them to effectively help young people come to know you. And Lord God, I pray that all of us would put you first, others second, and that we wouldn't mind being last for once in our lives. Because you take those who are last and you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And we get to pray that because of the incredible example of your Son who put us first. In whose name we pray, Lord Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. This time I'd like to invite the scouts to come forward to retrieve the colors. And you are dismissed. Thank you, folks. We'll see you.